In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As a priest, I have a number of tools that I use on a pretty regular basis. Of course, I've got my Bible, I've got my prayer book, and I have Amazon Prime. Now, I know that may sound silly, but think about it for a minute. There are a number of things that we need to purchase for the church every week and every month, things like books and paper and office supplies, batteries, you name it, we need it. And it would take probably an entire day every week if I needed to go out to the store and go shopping and hunt all these things down, buy them and bring them back to the church. Or I can just take a few minutes and click my mouse a few times, and it's just delivered here, right to the door of the church. One of the things I really like about Amazon is, even though they're a big corporation, they partner with a lot of small businesses. And what will happen is a lot of these businesses will sell their products or give their products to Amazon, and then when I buy them, Amazon will box it up and send it to me. And I know this because I see on the order it'll say, you're ordering from this company, but it's fulfilled by Amazon. And that's an interesting concept, the concept of fulfillment. And that's what I'd like to talk a bit about today. And when we hear that word fulfill, oftentimes we think of it in terms of a feeling. So if we do a good job on something, or if we feel happy about something that's happened, we say that we feel fulfilled. But the word itself really doesn't have anything to do with the feeling. It literally means to bring something to completion, or to bring something to reality. And so when Amazon fulfills an order, they don't feel something about it. It means that they have completed the sale, that they have accomplished getting that item to the buyer. Now, in the story of Jesus' presentation in the temple from Luke's Gospel, we can see that Jesus fulfills both the law of Israel and the purpose of Israel. And this morning, I'd like to take a look at each of those. Now, according to Jewish law, a male child was circumcised when he was 8 days old. And if he was the firstborn male, he would then be presented at 40 days old and then be redeemed or bought back for the price of 5 shekels of silver. Now, if you were to count back 40 days from today, what day would you get to? Christmas. So we're 40 days from Christmas, and that is why today we are celebrating the Feast of the Presentation. Now, at this time, 40 days after the birth of a male child, the mother would also offer a sacrifice in the temple for her own purification. And the prescribed offering for that was a lamb and a turtle dove. Or if the woman was poor, as Mary was, she would offer 2 turtle doves in place of the lamb. Now, it's interesting to note that in our reading, Luke uses some variation of the phrase, according to the law of Moses, 5 times throughout the course of this reading. And in Scripture, any time we see repetition, whether it's a word or a phrase or a concept, it should signal us to pay attention. That's important. And the point that Luke is making here is that Jesus and his family are not somehow above the law. Jesus isn't pulling rank on society and saying things like, well, don't you know who I am? I could have you fired. Instead, we see that he and Mary and Joseph fully submit to the law of Moses. But Jesus did not come simply to be under the law, but to fulfill the law, to complete the law, to realize the purpose of the law. Now, to understand that, we need to understand what the law was intended to do. This is a complex topic, and it's certainly not one that we can mine the depths of in a 20-minute sermon. And so consequently, we'll need to simplify things a bit for the sake of our discussion. Now, Father Nathaniel hates it when I do this because he loves the intricacies of all these things. But as someone who did youth ministry for 20 years, I learned to simplify. So Luke is dealing here with the ceremonial law that pertains to the worship in the temple. And in a nutshell, the purpose of the temple system was to reconcile sinful Israel with their holy God. Sacrifice needed to be made for their sins, and holiness needed to be achieved on the part of the people to be able to offer those sacrifices to God. The problem was the law was unable to accomplish this goal. The daily sacrifices in the temple were sort of like paying the minimum balance on your credit card each month. Now, if you do that, you're going to keep the bill collectors at bay. But are you ever going to pay off that credit card? Nope, you're just paying the interest. So only Jesus is able to pay this debt in full for us. Only He can offer a perfect sacrifice of Himself that will once and for all reconcile us to God. And so when we say that Jesus fulfills the law, it doesn't mean that He gets rid of it. It doesn't mean that He says it's unimportant. Instead, what it means is that He does what could not be done through the law. Think of it in terms of traffic laws. Now, I think we're all familiar with traffic laws, and we know that the purpose of those laws is to keep us safe as we're moving from one place to another in our cars. And if we all followed these laws, if we stopped for the stop signs, if we went only when the light was green, if we didn't turn in front of other vehicles, we would certainly be very safe out on the roads. But we don't follow the laws very well, do we? No, we run stop signs. We go way over the speed limit. We make unsafe lane changes. And as a result, people have accidents and they get hurt and sometimes even killed. Now imagine if someone came up with technology that allowed us to teleport safely and instantly from one place to another. That would be really cool, wouldn't it? The technology would then fulfill the purpose of the traffic laws because we would then be able to get back and forth to places without injury. So speed limits and stop signs wouldn't go away. But those of us who chose this new method of transportation would no longer be under those traffic laws because the purpose of those laws would be accomplished through something else, through something greater. And this is similar to how Jesus fulfills the ceremonial law of Israel. Again, He doesn't say that the law is bad or that the purpose of the law is bad. But rather, through His death and resurrection, He accomplishes our reconciliation with God in a way that the law never fully could. And I believe we actually see an example of this in our gospel reading. Luke is very intentional about not only the details that he uses, but the details that he leaves out. And it's interesting to note that he includes talking about the pair of turtle doves that are given for Mary's purification. But notice he doesn't say anything about the 5 shekel redemption price paid for Jesus. So does this mean that Jesus' parents didn't keep the law as they should? Well, if we look at the purpose for this law, the answer is obviously no. As I said before, families were required to offer their firstborn child to the Lord. But for most families, this was essentially ceremonial. They would offer their child to the Lord, then they would pay the 5 shekel redemption price and basically buy their child back from God. But Jesus is not redeemed because he is already the Son of God. The temple is, in fact, his rightful home. We see that in the very next story. If we continue on in Luke, we see him as a teenager in the temple. And when his parents can't find him, they finally find him in the temple, and he says, "Didn't you know I would be in my Father's house?" He's saying, "This is where I belong." So when Mary and Joseph don't pay the redemption price, it's not breaking the law because Jesus has fulfilled this part of the law. He is the sacrifice. His blood is our redemption price. Jesus accomplishes what the law never could, and thus he fulfills it. Now, in addition to fulfilling the law, Jesus also fulfills the purpose for Israel. Now, to figure out what that is, we need to go back to Genesis, chapter 12, verse 2. And we see there God telling Abraham, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." Later in Isaiah chapter 49, God says of Israel, "I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." So God did not choose Israel to be his people so they could be this little exclusive private club that didn't let anyone else in. Their whole purpose was to show the nations of the world who God is and how to worship him. But unfortunately, that purpose kept getting lost along the way. Before their exile to Babylon, the people of Judah failed in this task because they were too busy chasing after foreign gods. In Jesus' day, they had somewhat of the opposite problem. They were so concerned about falling into the errors of the past that they had circled the wagons, so to speak, and they had isolated themselves from the rest of the people. Luke is very clear that Jesus has come for both the Jews and the Gentiles. In Simeon's great song, he sings, "For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Jesus did not come to build more walls around Israel, but rather he came to tear them down. He came to offer salvation and reconciliation to God for all people through faith. For hundreds of years, the Jewish people had failed in this task, and now Jesus comes and he blows the doors wide open. The saving love of God is no longer available simply to one race or nation, but to all who call upon his name in faith. And so Jesus has fulfilled the law of Israel. He has opened up access to the Father through his death and resurrection. Jesus has fulfilled the purpose of Israel, shining the light of salvation to all the nations of the world. So the question that you must ask yourself is, has Jesus fulfilled you? It was interesting this past week to watch the reactions people had to the death of Kobe Bryant. And while I doubt any of us knew him personally, he was someone who was in many ways larger than life. And it was easy for people to think of him as almost invincible. And so a death like this can quickly put us all in touch with our own mortality and cause us to start asking questions like, why am I here? What is my purpose? Do I even matter in the world if I'm not a famous basketball player or a politician or a Kardashian? Now, thankfully, Scripture answers this question for us. The Bible teaches us that our ultimate purpose in life is not any of these other things. Turning once again to Isaiah, in chapter 23, God tells us what we're created for. He tells us we're created for His glory. Moving into the New Testament, 1 Peter 2 tells us that we are called to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so just as a hammer is fulfilled when it is used to hammer nails, and just as a guitar is fulfilled when it is used to make music, human beings are fulfilled in life when we are used to give glory to God through our relationship with Him. And this is only possible through faith in Jesus Christ. Once we have received that reconciliation with the Father through the Son, we are called to then join Him in being a light to the nations, proclaiming the gospel of salvation to those who are far off and to those who are near. These days, there is no shortage of things out there that promise to bring us fulfillment in our lives. Buy this product, and you will be fulfilled. Take this class, and you will find fulfillment. Join this club, vote for this candidate, and your life will be complete. But I'm here to tell you that the only thing in this world that can complete us, the only thing in this world that can fulfill our purpose in life, is Jesus Christ. Only He can take away our sins. Only He can restore us to a full relationship with our Father and Creator. Only He can give us a life of eternal meaning and significance. Now, I know that there are many of you here today who have already discovered this, and you are leading a life of purpose and fulfillment, and for that I praise God. But if you haven't done so already, I want to encourage you to make this the day that Jesus enters your life and fulfills you. Make this the day that you surrender yourself to His grace and love. Make this the day that you become complete. Life is not empty and meaningless. It is not simply about being good, well-behaved people until we die. It's about living into the fullness of everything that God has created us for. And so give your life to Him today. And rejoice with Simeon and with Anna that your redemption is here and that God's purpose for your life has been fulfilled. Amen.